of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that would obstruct your mercy, that willingly we may bear your redeeming love to all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
Our first reading is from 2 Samuel. Now when David the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth, and I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people's Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Reading is from Romans. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by these words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be there no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Imagine Mary, a shrewd and skeptical teenager, and Gabriel, a fantastic being who has stood in the presence of God and is just one message away from clocking out. He's already dropped in on Zechariah at the temple and told him that his wife, much to his surprise, will conceive and give birth to John. And there, Gabriel just couldn't. He loses his patience with an inquisitive Zechariah. But Gabriel restrains himself with Mary. The scene is funny to me because on the one side you have this young woman who wants to know how the heck she could be pregnant. And on the other, a messenger who is only sent to deliver the good news and doesn't need this attitude from skeptics. Don't you know, he might be thinking, that what you think is impossible is not impossible for God? But I think there is some deep misunderstanding between Mary and Gabriel, Gabriel and Zechariah. Gabriel has seen the amazing things firsthand that God can do, while humans that he is sent to, they just haven't. And they don't know exactly what God is up to. And now, here comes a fantastic and frightening agent from God that greets Mary. And she is confused and frightened. But maybe it is not Gabriel himself that confuses or frightens her. Maybe what this ordinary girl is wondering is how God could possibly find favor with her, or that she should be somehow an agent of God's goodness in the world. What do I, she might be thinking, an ordinary young woman, have to do with what God is up to? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? When we think of Gabriel's telling the good news to Mary, we tend to fixate on virgin birth, or angels, or who Mary is as the mother of the Son of the Most High. Or we skip to the end of this story when she accepts what Gabriel has told her. And we hold her up as a model of perfect faith and obedience that we should aspire to. But then we would miss the part of the story that we can relate to. Mary is human, like us. She lives an ordinary life, or so she thinks. We live ordinary lives, or so we think. Now, she is told that she is loved by God. Now she is told that God will do great things through her. Now she and we hear that life in this world is not so removed from God as we might be tempted to think. Mary, did you know? Like her, we have heard of the magnificent acts of God in the Bible. Things for all to see, and which amaze us with their flashiness and show of strength and power. Kind of like a Vegas show. Maybe Mary expected, like us, to see justice roll down like rivers, dramatic as that might be. She and we are tempted to expect the power of God to be at its peak when God uses it to vanquish villains with one foul swoop or throw the world into upheaval. And we are tempted often to believe that ordinary life is too small for God to affect his greater redemption of the cosmos. And then we hear Mary's reply to this great and good news. I hear what you're saying, Gabriel, but you're telling me I'm pregnant, and there's no way that could be. And instead of repudiating her, he tells her what she wants to know. Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. Mary, did you know? And maybe sometimes we look for the great and powerful miracles to know when God has acted. We expect to be astonished with the turn of events. But God is not held captive to our expectations of power. And yet, how often are you astonished when you realize God has done good or through you in the smallest ways? Maybe the small things make a difference. And that love that we are shown again and again, does that not have more powerful effects than any act of wrath that we can think of? Like Mary, we are people, not rulers, not in places of absolute power, not able to do the good we desire, to transform all we see into a world that is good. Like Mary, like Zechariah, we are not even sure sometimes how anything we do or will do is somehow good, even for others, let alone God. We can certainly ask, how is it possible that the one who will rule the nations, the one who is bringing peace and justice to all the world, and the one who is redeeming creation would be born human, like us? But the fact is that God brings about peace. God creates justice. God redeems the world in the smallest places. God does the extraordinary in our ordinary lives. Mary, did you know? Jesus was born in a place very extraordinary for a human to be born, a stable. Extraordinary for, or unusual to most of us, certainly. But a stable is not so extraordinary, or in another way to think about it, it's birth in a dirty, smelly place. That's not wonderful or ideal, extraordinary. No one expects a powerful person, no less God's son, to be born in squalor. Certainly not for the people of Israel, who believed that the Messiah they hoped for would be born into kingly majesty. Jesus is born in a family as worldly as we can imagine. They have to flee in order to escape King Herod's jealous anger. They have to register, obey the law, and register for the census, the emperor's census. They seem to have had little power to effect a world of good. And yet, Mary is gifted with a pregnancy that reveals the true power and goodness of God in ways even Gabriel's annunciation could not reveal. Mary, did you know? The proclamation to Mary and to us is that God chooses to do the most good in the most unassuming places. That is a miracle of the Annunciation. Despite any of our expectations or our fears and questions about how God's peace and justice will happen, God proclaims to us that his goodwill will happen through even us. Despite how powerless we sometimes feel, God's power of love flows through us. Because God's love for us is extraordinary, our ordinary lives are lovely. Because God cares so deeply for us in this world, God chooses to be with us. Despite how ordinary or even squalid we may think our world is, we may be astonished when God comes and dwells here with us. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Mary, did you know? Do you know?